2 Kings chapter 20. And of the portion of Scripture we have read this morning, I would like to make verse 11 our text for today. For we read in verse 11, "And Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward, by which it had gone down in the dial of Ahaz. Between them, Hezekiah, king of Judah, and Isaiah the prophet had accomplished and seen great things done in the name of the Lord God of Israel. For what they had achieved could not have been attributed to the arm of flesh. They were not men, of course, who had put their trust in the arm of flesh. No, rather, their reliance was upon the hand and upon the arm of God, the arm of Jehovah. And Hezekiah and Isaiah knew that that divine hand would only move and work in their favor in answer to their prayers. Ezra has said in his book, Ezra 8 and verse 22, "Servant of the Lord, there says, the hand of our God is upon all them for good that seek him. But his power and his wrath is against all them that forsake him." And so Ezra makes the point that it is prayer that moves the hand of God. And Hezekiah and Isaiah had sought the Lord and prayed when Sennacherib and 185,000 of his bloodthirsty warriors had invaded Judah. The servants of the Lord prayed, and God's hand was moved in answer to their prayers. For God's hand moved against Sennacherib and against his forces, and God dealt with Sennacherib and slew 185,000 men in one night. That was as a result of prayer. Once again, Hezekiah engaged himself in prayer when he was told that he would die and not live. For he turned his face to the wall and prayed. And the mighty hand of Jehovah was once again moved. Moved to touch the monarch and to stay the disease. Through prayer, God's hand was moved to defeat Sennacherib. Through prayer, God's hand was moved to deliver Hezekiah from sickness. And now, the hand of God must be moved again. And that hand once more would be moved in answer to prayer. God's hand must be moved to display a sign to give Hezekiah a sign that indeed God was going to raise him up from his sick bed and deliver him from the gates of the grave. And so Judah's king asked for a sign, saying, "What shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me?" That sign was to be the setting of the sun backwards, bringing it back 10 degrees in the sky. Just as the snatching of Hezekiah from the jaws of death seemed to be impossible, so this request of Hezekiah regarding the sun, putting it backwards, seemed to be, well, impossible. How could that be done? Yet this was the sign that Hezekiah asked for. If the sun was to go back 10 degrees in the sky, the hand of God must do it. And we shall see from this study that the hand of God did it. And once again, the hand of God was moved in answer to the prayer of Hezekiah and Isaiah. And dear child of God, what we have here, and this is something that surely should encourage us greatly when we bow the knee at the throne of grace and bring our petitions before the Lord. Prayer moves the hand of God. That moves the world. Because here we see that prayer move the hand of God that moved the world. Now, what all was entailed in God setting the sun backwards in the sky, I have no idea. How it affected the earth, how it affected the other planets. But the hand of God moved the world. And that was done as a result of prayer. Prayer moves the hand that moves the world. As I was saying on Wednesday night, when we come across certain phenomena in the scriptures, there are many Bible commentators that are all too ready to explain away certain events that are recorded in Scripture. We mentioned on Wednesday night the burning bush, Moses at the burning bush. And there are those who try and explain that away. They speak about a certain bush and at certain times of the year, if the temperature is high enough, this bush can suddenly be alight, burst into flames. But how do they explain the fact that the bush burned but was not consumed? Why can we not come to these happenings recorded in Scripture and simply take God at His word? And so it is with this great event, the setting of the sun, setting it back in the sky. There are those, and they have tried to explain this away, and they say God didn't really put the sun backwards. They said that He just merely moved the shadow of the sun backwards. that the shadow on the sundial simply went back 10 degrees. That's all that happened. He didn't really move the sun. Did he not? Once again, why will man not take the Lord at his word? Because I read in Isaiah 38 and verse 8 these words, "Behold, I will bring again the shadow of the degrees, which has gone down in the sundial of Ahaz 10 degrees backward." And there are those that say, well, that's all that happened. Well, why not read the rest of the verse? Because the rest of the verse says, "So the sun returned 10 degrees, by which degrees it was gone down." The Lord did move the sun. Not just a shadow. God moved the sun backwards 10 degrees. The hand of God is the hand that moves the world. But what is it that moves that hand? It is prayer. Prayer moves the hand that moves the world. Oh, dear child of God, when we come to God's word, let us always take the Lord at his word. For if we water down his word, then we water down what we believe regarding the power of God. And if we water down what we believe about the power of God, then we limit ourselves when we come to pray. Because we simply say, oh, I don't believe God can do that. It never entered the mind of Hezekiah. Not once did it enter into his mind that God couldn't set the sun back 10 degrees. Or else he wouldn't have asked for it. And so when you think of it, dear Christian, think of the things that we can ask for. And those and things that we can see done in the Lord's name. If we simply believe that there is nothing, but nothing that is impossible with our God. And if we pray, and when we pray, pray believing. Pray believing that prayer moves the hand that moves the world. So let us consider this sign. Now that we have established that God indeed did set the sun back, not just a shadow. We notice, first of all, that we have here a sign of confirmation. The reason that Hezekiah asked for such a sign, it wasn't because he didn't trust the Lord or he didn't take the Lord at his word, but he simply wanted to confirm the word of the Lord to his own heart. He wanted a sign that would strengthen his own faith in his God. And this request for a sign, first of all, demonstrates his boldness. Was it not a bold thing to ask the Lord to put the sun back 10 degrees? Most certainly was. This was a bold request from Hezekiah, having been told that his life would be spared. He has prayed regarding that matter. He has been told that he would live. Now you would nearly think, well, Hezekiah, is that not enough? The Lord has told you you're going to live. Surely you don't need to ask for anything more. but ask for more he did. There's his boldness. And you know, believer, if we're to see great things accomplished for God, we need this boldness. We need boldness in prayer. You think of Hezekiah. And over these past number of weeks, we've been looking at Hezekiah's prayer life. Hezekiah has been praying much. We've seen him on his knees as he prayed against Sennacherib. We have seen him in his bed of sickness as he prayed regarding his sickness. And now once again, he has made this request. He has been spending much time in prayer. And you know, believer, there's a lesson there. If we spend much time in prayer, yea, the more time we spend in prayer, the more bold we will become in prayer. The more we will ask of God. We're familiar with those words in Epistle to the Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Notice there, Paul says, let us therefore come boldly. Paul is not merely referring to our attitude when he says, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace. He's not so much emphasizing our attitude, but he's emphasizing our asking. Because you see, the word boldly there means free utterance. It has to do with what we say. It has to do with what we utter. The throne of grace. So when we speak to the Lord in prayer, we may speak freely to Him. We may be bold in our praying and what we ask for. Look again at Hebrews 4. This time verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore, because of Jesus Christ, let us therefore come unto the throne of grace with boldness. In other words, prayer in itself honors God. Prayer in itself glorifies God. So how much more do we honor God? How much more do we glorify God when we ask even greater things of God? God is glorified by the things that we ask for. Turn please to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3. And there in Ephesians 3 and verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Unto him be the glory. You see, we glorify God by what we ask for. Unto him be glory. According to the power that worketh in us. And certainly not our power. It is the power of God. It is the power in the hand of God, and that power that moves the world. Let us be bold then, believer, when we come to pray. Not only do you have his boldness, you also have his burden. Remember, Hezekiah asked for a sign to confirm that the Lord was going to do what he said. He was obviously greatly burdened about what God had promised him. For we read there in verse 8, "And Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, What shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me, and that I shall go up into the house of the Lord the third day?" He was burdened about the Lord healing him. He was also burdened about the Lord's house. He wanted to be healed so that he could go up into the house of the Lord's house that he loved so much. Judah's king desperately wanted to see both promises fulfilled. And so he asked for a sign. And so, believer, we also may ask the Lord for a sign that he is going to work amongst us and he's going to fulfill his promises. There's no harm in asking the Lord for a sign. Indeed, the Lord was waiting for Ahaz, the father of Hezekiah, to ask for a sign. But Ahaz never asked. And so we read in Isaiah chapter 7, in verse 10, "Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, Ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God." Ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord." He didn't ask because he was afraid the Lord wouldn't answer. He didn't ask because he was afraid the Lord wouldn't give him the sign. And look at that verse 11. He was exhorted to ask something great. He was exhorted to ask for a great sign. For the word is, "Ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above." And the words there mean, "Make thy petition deep." Make thy petition deep. Is it not true that sometimes our petitions are very shallow? God here is calling on us to make our petitions deep, to ask great things of God. And he told Ahaz, "Ask and make thy petitions deep." But he didn't. Believer, let us not be like Ahaz. Let us be like Hezekiah. Let us ask deep things of God, great things of God. And you'll notice the blessing, that the Lord might confirm his intentions regarding his servant. Hezekiah asked for a hard thing. He asked for a hard thing because Hezekiah sought the Lord's blessing. The blessing of healing and the blessing of being able to go up to the house of the Lord. That's what he was seeking. So he asked a hard thing. Perhaps remembering the word of the Lord to Abraham. When he said to Abraham, "Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord?" Therefore, Hezekiah asked for the sun to be put back 10 degrees. Now, the writer of the Chronicles tells us exactly what the Lord did do for Hezekiah. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 32. Second Chronicles 32 and verse 24. In those days Hezekiah was sick to the death and prayed unto the Lord, and he spake unto him, and he gave him a sign. Now look at your Bible margin. And he gave him a sign, or he wrought a miracle for him. He wrought a miracle for him. That's what Hezekiah had asked for. He had asked for a miracle. He had asked the Lord to do a miracle. And the Lord performed a miracle for him. Does this not teach us that we should never be afraid to ask for the Lord to do a miracle? We've been praying for the sick of late. I know we always have some sick person to pray for, but it just seems this past couple of months, more and more people sick. We've been praying for our dear sister Deborah, who has cancer. And what are we praying for her? We're praying that the Lord would be gracious and be pleased to heal her. Yea, we're asking for more than that. We're asking the Lord to do a miracle. We're asking God to work a miracle in our dear sister's life. And dear child of God, we can ask for miracles. Maybe there's someone that you know and you've been praying for who is far down the road to a lost eternity. They're far from God. You can ask the Lord to work a miracle for that person. For as they were pulled back from the brink of the bottomless pit, as they were delivered out of the mire of their sin, as they were changed from being drunkards and blasphemers into being saints of God, living a righteous life, you would say that is a miracle. And so it is. The new birth, every time someone is born again, that's a miracle. Why not ask the Lord for miracles? He is the God of miracles. When the Lord gave Abraham and Sarah a son in their old age, that was a miracle. When the Lord blessed Zechariah and Elizabeth with a son in their old age, that was a miracle. When the Lord retrieved Hezekiah from the gates of the grave, that was a miracle. When the Lord put the sun back 10 degrees in the sky, that was a miracle. God is the God of miracles. Hezekiah asked for a miracle and God gave him a miracle. Why not ask the Lord to work a miracle? Do that which we know we cannot do. And I believe God will answer. It was a sign of confirmation, the sign that Hezekiah had asked for. It was also a sign of confidence. A sign also that Hezekiah had confidence in his God. There can be no doubt about that. The fact that he asked for the sun to go back 10 degrees shows a man's confidence in God, shows his confidence in the power of God. Whatever he asks for, He obviously believed the Lord could do it. If there was any doubt in the mind of Hezekiah about God's power, he would never, never have asked for such a sign. And believer, if we have any doubts about God's power, then those doubts will hinder us in our praying. They will. We will not ask for the things that we could ask for, because we doubt the Lord and the power of the Almighty. Had Moses any doubt about God's power, I don't believe he would ever have led the children of Israel to the edge of the Red Sea. He had to believe in God's power. His power to divide the waters and make a way where there was no way. Had Elijah any doubts about the power of God? He never would have summoned and asked the Lord to send fire from heaven and consume the sacrifice and confound the false prophets of Baal. But Elijah believed God, and he had confidence in the power of God to do what he asked for. Had Samuel any doubts about the power of God, he never would have asked the Lord to send thunder and rain during wheat harvest. But that's what he asked for, and that's what the Lord gave him, because he believed in the power of God. Had Hezekiah any doubts about God's power, he never would have asked him to set the sun back 10 degrees. You know, believer, the Lord wants us. He wants us to trust him. He wants us to trust him to do great things. He wants us to trust him. For I read in Matthew 21. And there in verse 20, and when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, there it is, doubt not. Hezekiah had faith in God, and he did not doubt. And the Lord says, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Whatsoever. That's broad enough to include many, many great things whatsoever. Don't doubt. Have faith in God. And don't doubt God or the power of God. And we'll be able to ask great things of him. This sign of confidence showed his confidence in the power of God, and he had confidence in God because he had proved God. Hezekiah had already proved the Lord. He had received 2 mighty answers to prayer: the defeat of the Syrian armies in Sennacherib, and the healing, the promise of the healing of his own body. 2 amazing, marvelous answers to prayer. Things that seemed to be impossible, God did them. Now he asks again, which was greater, the defeat of Sennacherib, the healing of his body, or the setting of the sun back 10 degrees in the sky? They were all great works of God, but I would feel the last was the greatest of all. setting the sun back 10 degrees. You see what happened? Hezekiah's confidence grew. Hezekiah's confidence in his God increased. Now he asked the Lord to set the sun back 10 degrees. He was confident the Lord could do it. He was confident the Lord would do it. We're all familiar with George Mueller. George Mueller was a mighty man of prayer. He lived by prayer. He proved the Lord again and again by prayer. And over the years, his confidence in God increased so they could ask more and more of the Lord. Have you ever come across A.T. Pearson's book, the biography of George Mueller? You should purchase it. One of the chapters there deals with Mueller's confidence in God. And this little paragraph deals with this matter. A.T. Pearson said this: as faith was exercised, it was energized, so that it became as easy and natural to ask confidently for 100, 1,000, or 10,000 pounds as once it had been to ask for 1 pound or 1 penny. After confidence in God had been strengthened through discipline and God had been proven faithful, it required no more venture to cast himself on God for provision for 2,000 children and an annual outlay of at least £25,000 for them than in the earlier periods of the work to look to him to care for 20 homeless orphans at a cost of £250 a year. Only by using faith are we kept from practically using it, and on the contrary, to use faith is to lose the unbelief that hinders God's mighty acts. That's about a man who knew all about confidence in God. His confidence grew from a time when he could ask the Lord to supply the need for 20 children. And he found it no more difficult to ask the Lord to meet the need for 2,000 children. That's confidence. His confidence grew and was strengthened. And here you have the willingness of the Lord. The Lord is willing to answer prayer for those who show confidence in him because it pleases the Lord. Hezekiah proved the Lord. And Hezekiah knew that what he asked for would please the Lord. Prayer pleases the Lord. When we pray, we please him. When we pray and ask great things of God, it pleases the Lord. We demonstrate our confidence in God, our dependence on God, that pleases him. And when we ask great things of God, it pleases him even more. And Hezekiah knew that what he asked for would please the Lord. Let us, dear Christian, ask great things of God. For I read in 1 John 5 and verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything, according to his will, he heareth us. And the next verse says, and if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. We know. If we express this confidence, we'll have confidence to ask, we'll have confidence that God will answer. And John says, we know. We trust the Lord. The Lord will reward us. And finally, it was not only a sign of confirmation, it was a sign of confidence, it was a sign of condescension. When the Lord put the sun back 10 degrees, it was not only an act of God's greatness, it was also an act of God's condescending grace. Because God had performed a miracle in answer to the prayer of one man. You think of the magnitude of the miracle. And it all comes down to the prayer of one man. God listening to the prayer of one man. That expresses the willingness of the Lord. He's willing to answer our prayers. That willingness is seen in the message that He gave Isaiah. And Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, what shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me, and that I shall go up into the house of the Lord the third day? And Isaiah said, this sign shalt thou have of the Lord. He'll give you a sign. Here it is. There's the Lord's willingness. He'll put the sun back 10 degrees. There's His willingness to answer Hezekiah's prayer. This, of course, was not the first time something like this was done in answer to prayer. Back in Joshua chapter 10, verse 12, then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said, in the sight of Israel, Son, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thy moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still and the moon stayed. Verse 14, and there was no day like that before it or after it. Listen to this. That the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man. For the Lord fought for Israel. There was not a day like it before or after, because God had hearkened unto the voice of a man. That's what the prayers of one man can accomplish. Remember, prayer moves the hand that moves the world. He stopped the sun and stopped the moon. He stopped the world and all the planets in answer to one man's prayers. What confidence then should we go to the throne of grace with? One other point and I'll close. You have the message, the willingness of the Lord is seen in the message. It's also seen in the miracle that God would do such a thing. And it's also seen in the mediator. For it says in verse 11, 2 Kings 20, and Isaiah the prophet cried unto the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backward by which it had gone down in the dial of Ahaz. Isaiah was the mediator between Hezekiah and the Lord. Isaiah was the one who prayed. Isaiah was the one who cried unto the Lord. Isaiah prayed and cried unto the Lord that this miracle would be done for the benefit of Hezekiah. And thank God we have a mediator who's greater than Isaiah. And our mediator is crying to the Lord, his Father, for us. And he's praying on our behalf. And you know something? The Father has to answer. He's bound to answer for the sake of his Son. And when we bring our petitions before the Lord and our prayers, we ask according to his will, and we ask in Jesus' name, God is bound to answer for the sake of our mediator, for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us ask great things for ourselves, for our families, for our work and our witness here. For prayer moves the hand, it moves the world. Let's bow in prayer. Our dear loving and gracious Father, we bow before Thee, acknowledging, Lord, Thy greatness, Thy majesty, Thy power. For Lord, since Thou didst make the sun, made it to rule the day, and the moon to rule the night, what is it then, Lord, to Thee, to put the sun back 10 degrees? What is it to Thee to cause the sun to stand still? O God, when we bring our petitions to Thee, what is it, Lord, to Thee to give us what we ask for? What is it, Lord, to Thee to grant us those things that in our eyes seem impossible? Lord, we believe there is nothing. We stand before Thee today and say, Lord, we believe nothing is impossible with Thee, our God. And Lord, we ask that Thou would then come and work these miracles that we've been asking for. Do these things. Answer our prayers for Jesus' sake, for the sake of Thy Son, our mediator and our Savior. Lord, we pray Thy word will increase our confidence when we go to the place of prayer. Write the word in our hearts. May we meditate upon it throughout this Sabbath. And in Thy will, according to Thy grace, return us, Lord, to the house of worship tonight to learn more about Thee. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be our abiding portion now and forevermore. And to God be all the glory. Amen.